Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. You know, today we're going to be looking at something pretty interesting. We're going to try to understand this connection between SRAM loaner evolution, which, you know, we can just call SLE, and something called the free field. And you're probably thinking, like, how are those two things even related? We've got an expert here to help guide us through a paper from the Journal of the American Mathematical Society. It's called SLE and the Free Field: Partition Functions and Couplings. It might sound a little intimidating, but we're going to try to break it down and figure out what's so cool about this connection.
Yeah, that's right. This paper is really all about, you know, uncovering these really surprising relationships between concepts that seem really abstract. And by the time we're done with this deep dive, you'll have a new appreciation for how these ideas are way more interconnected than you might think.
Sounds exciting. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is SLE? Can you explain it in a way that someone who doesn't have a math degree can understand?
Absolutely. So just imagine like a coastline, you know, with all of its twists and turns. It kind of seems random, right? But there's this structured chaos to it. SLE gives us this mathematical language to describe and model these random fractal-like curves.
So it's a way to find order in this seemingly chaotic pattern.
Exactly. And this paper focuses on something called chordal SLE, where these curves grow inside a specific boundary, like they start and end at fixed points on the edge. Think of it like drawing a path within a set space.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to the free field then. It sounds kind of like a force of nature. It's kind of mystical.
Yeah.
Can you demystify it for us?
Yeah, it does sound kind of mysterious, but in essence, it's like a random landscape with these peaks and valleys. But instead of like physical terrain, it's a mathematical function with specific properties. And what makes it really interesting is that it shows up in different areas of physics, especially in quantum field theory.
Okay, that connection to quantum field theory definitely makes me even more curious. It's like this mathematical concept has this real-world counterpart. So let's talk about these discrete couplings that are mentioned in the paper. There's some interesting examples like domino tilings, which I always think of as, you know, intricate patterns.
Yeah, those examples are really great because they provide a visual way to grasp how SLE and the free field can be linked. Take, for example, Temperley's bijection. It connects spanning trees, so think of like a branching network, to domino tilings. It's like choosing a branch on a tree will determine how you place dominoes on a grid.
So we're connecting a random path, like a branch on a tree, to a random field through these dominoes. But how does this connect to the continuous world of SLE and the free field?
Well, that's where this magic of convergence comes in. As the domino size shrinks, the whole picture starts to resemble a continuous landscape. And this height function associated with the tilings starts looking more and more like the free field.
It's like zooming out and seeing the bigger picture emerge. Okay, so we've got SLE describing random paths. The free field is this random function. And these domino tilings are showing this link between them. But what connects them in the continuous world? Well, the paper points to partition functions as the key.
Yeah, you can think of partition functions as the special language that both SLE and the free field speak. They're mathematical tools that calculate the probabilities of all possible configurations in a system. So the paper essentially matches specific types of SLE and free field variations by finding that they speak the same language through these partition functions.
So it's like they discovered a hidden Rosetta Stone. But there's one part that I'm still struggling with. It's this Polyakov-Alvarez formula. The paper mentions it in connection with these partition functions, but it's not entirely clear to me what its importance is.
Oh, that's a great question. So basically, when you stretch or deform a space, certain mathematical quantities change, right? And this formula helps us calculate those changes. Think of it like adjusting a map scale. And it turns out that this formula is crucial because it helps reconcile a seeming mismatch in the exponents that appear in the partition functions for SLE and the free field.
So it helps ensure that the language of SLE and the free field actually aligns. This is incredible how these seemingly separate concepts have this underlying harmony. But there's still more to uncover, right? The paper also gets into stochastic equations and uniqueness, which sounds even more intriguing.
Absolutely. And this is where things get really exciting. The paper demonstrates that SLE paths can actually be described by specific equations that are driven by the free field. And they also establish the uniqueness of the solutions to those equations, meaning that the SLE path is entirely determined by the free field.
So the free field is like the composer, and the SLE path is the melody playing out according to its instructions.
That's a great analogy. And this finding is a major breakthrough in understanding how these two concepts are intertwined. It means that SLE, which describes the growth of these random fractal-like curves, is fundamentally linked to the free field.
This is a huge aha moment for me. It's like we just discovered a hidden doorway between two seemingly separate worlds. But we've only just scratched the surface. We still need to explore the consequences of this connection, and I can't wait to see what new insights we uncover.
Well, that's precisely what we'll be diving into next time. So get ready for some really fascinating revelations about how this connection impacts our understanding of both SLE and the free field.
Welcome back, everyone. Last time we uncovered this incredible link between SLE and the free field, with partition functions acting as this Rosetta Stone. It was like we cracked a secret code. But now I'm really eager to explore what we can actually do with this knowledge. What are the practical implications of this connection?
Well, that's a great question. And the paper goes into some really fascinating consequences. One of the most visually striking ones is the continuous version of Temporally's bijection, which we touched on earlier. Remember how we talked about connecting spanning trees to domino tilings in that discrete setting?
Yeah, that visual really helped me understand.
Well, imagine taking that concept and smoothing it out, moving from those blocky dominoes to a continuous landscape. The paper shows that given a free field with certain boundary conditions, you can construct an SLE path, specifically SLE8. That acts as the continuous counterpart of a branch in a spanning tree.
So instead of a single branch on a tree, now we have this whole path winding through this continuous field. It's like the free field is the terrain and the SLE path is a river carving its way through it.
That's a beautiful way to visualize it, and it gets even more fascinating because the reverse is also true. If you start with an SLE8 path, you can actually reconstruct the free field. It's a two-way street. Real mathematical dance between these concepts.
This is mind-blowing. But I have to ask, why is this back and forth between the free field and SLE8 so important? What new insights does it give us?
Well, this continuous version of Temporally's bijection, it's not just some neat mathematical trick. It unlocks a deeper understanding of SLE itself. Think of it like this. SLE paths can be incredibly complex, right? Full of twists and turns. But by connecting them to the free field, we can break them down into simpler, more manageable components.
So it's like we're taking apart a complicated machine to see how each gear and lever works individually.
Precisely. And one of the most powerful tools that emerges from this connection is the concept of path decomposition. The free field allows us to split SLE paths into these dual paths, which are independent of each other given the field.
Dual path. So it's like each SLE path has a hidden twin. And together they tell a more complete story.
Exactly. And by analyzing these simpler dual paths, we gain a much richer understanding of the overall behavior of the SLE path. It's like having a detailed roadmap instead of just a vague sense of direction. And this has implications that go far beyond purely theoretical mathematics.
Now we're talking. You mentioned practical applications earlier.
Yeah.
How does this connect to the real world?
Well, these insights from path decomposition have the potential to ripple out into various fields where understanding random processes is crucial. For instance, imagine trying to model the spread of a wildfire. The fire's path can be incredibly unpredictable, right? But by using SLE and the free field, we might be able to break down its movement into smaller, more understandable components.
That's fascinating. So we could potentially use these mathematical tools to predict the path of a fire and make better decisions about how to contain it.
Exactly. And that's just one example. Similar approaches could be used in fields like financial modeling, where understanding market fluctuations is crucial, or even in studying the growth patterns of natural phenomena like crystals or coastlines.
This is all starting to feel a lot less abstract and a lot more relevant to our everyday lives. But I'm also curious about these dual paths you mentioned. Could you give us a more concrete example of how they work and what they reveal?
Of course. The paper provides some great examples, and one of the most intriguing ones involves a specific type of SLE called SLE8. Remember you talked about how SLE8 can be constructed from the free field using that continuous Temporally's bijection.
Yes, I'm starting to see how SLE8 is kind of a star player in this whole story.
It really is. Now imagine an SLE8 path growing in a space like the upper half of a plane. Its dual path in this case would be something called SLE2. This SLE2 path essentially traces the boundary of the region that the SLE path has already explored.
So it's like the SLE2 path is keeping tabs on the SLE8 path, marking its progress.
That's a perfect way to put it. And here's what makes it so remarkable. If you focus only on the unexplored region, the original SLE8 path within that space actually behaves just like a regular SLE8 path aiming for a specific target point. It's as if the SLE8 path gets a fresh start, guided by the boundary created by its SLE2 companion.
It's like the SLE2 path is clearing a path for the SLE8 path to follow. It's amazing how these two paths are interacting and influencing each other.
It really highlights the interconnectedness of these concepts. And by analyzing these dual paths, we can unlock even more insights into the complex behavior of SLE.
Welcome back to our exploration of SLE and the free field. It's been quite a journey. We've seen how these two seemingly different concepts are really connected, and how this connection shows us a new way of understanding these complex, random processes.
And we've only just scratched the surface. The paper we're looking at shows even more fascinating consequences of this relationship, especially when we look at duality.
Duality. That sounds intriguing. It's like looking in a mirror but seeing something different reflected back.
That's a good way to put it. The paper shows that for specific values of kappa, which is this key parameter in SLE, there exist these dual SLE paths. These paths are like intertwined partners, each one kind of influencing the other in subtle but important ways.
So it's not just a reflection, but a complex interplay between these dual paths.
Exactly. These dual paths have their own unique characteristics. They evolve alongside the original SLE path, and they show these hidden symmetries and relationships in the overall framework.
You mentioned specific values of kappa. Earlier, we were talking about SLE8 and its connection to the free field through Temperley's bijection. Does SLE8 have a dual partner as well?
It does. And this is where things get really interesting. The dual of SLE8 is a path called SLE168, which actually simplifies to SLE2. Remember, SLE2 was the path we discussed earlier. That traces the boundary of the region explored by SLE8.
Right. It was like SLE2 was acting as a guide, marking the frontier of SLE8's expansion.
Exactly. Now imagine those two paths, SLE8 and SLE2 evolving together. The paper shows that if you just focus on the unexplored region, conditioned on the SLE2 path, the SLE8 path within that space behaves just like a regular SLE8 path, aiming for a specific point.
So it's like the SLE2 path sets the stage, and the SLE8 path takes center stage, performing its own intricate dance within those boundaries.
That's a great analogy. And this interplay between SLE8 and its dual SLE2 unlocks a lot of insights. By studying these dual pairs, we can get a deeper understanding of how SLE paths behave, how they grow, and how they interact with their surroundings.
So duality is not just some theoretical curiosity. It's a powerful tool for understanding SLE. It's like having this secret decoder ring that unveils these hidden patterns and relationships.
Absolutely. And the paper explores all sorts of other dualities, each one shedding light on different aspects of SLE. It's really a testament to the beauty and complexity of this mathematical framework.
We've covered so much in this deep dive, from the basic definitions of SLE and the free field, to partition functions, stochastic equations, path decompositions, and now duality. It's been an incredible journey. And I feel like I've learned so much about the power of mathematical concepts.
And remember, what seemed like this purely theoretical connection at the beginning has led us to these practical tools and insights that have the potential to change fields like statistical physics, financial modeling, and even how we understand natural phenomena.
It's really amazing how these abstract ideas can have such a big impact on how we understand the world around us.
It really is. And this is just the beginning. There's so much more to explore, more connections to make, and more questions to ask.
Well, a huge thank you to you for taking us through this fascinating and complex world of SLE and the free field. It's been really eye-opening. I feel like I have a whole new perspective.
It's been my pleasure. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you enjoyed exploring the wonders of mathematics and the amazing connections that are hidden just beneath the surface.